talking of fire safety.
Yeah, as we obviously are as rabbis.
Yes, all the time. I don't know how many of these you guys have, but we have over the years had several Hanukkiot come home from nursery or school made from either air dry clay or salt dough, or I mean, there's one that's a piece of wood with bottle tops on top.
We've got that one too.
Air drying clay is actually quite flammable. Mm-hmm. There are little fibres through it. And it's like, what are we doing? Please think about the materials that you're using. It is so lovely to be back with my rabbiting on colleagues. I'm Rabbi Debbie Young-Summers, and as always, I am delighted to be here with Rabbi Miriam Berger and Rabbi Robin Ashworth-Steen. Little bit sad to all be on Zoom or whatever it is that we're using again now to be online rather than in person. It was so wonderful to be with you in person and to see our audience. How did you guys feel about our live experience, our first go?
I mean, I have to admit, I loved it. And I think that's mostly to do with my ego. But it was just such fun. It was such lovely people in the audience. And it was just such a fun rabbinic experience. Totally new, totally different, and a really fun way of doing this. Also, just lovely to be able to have this conversation without a screen between us.
Yeah, I also loved it despite feeling so nervous beforehand. I think it probably didn't help that to travel from Manchester kind of added to the sense of like this being a big thing and going out and it was all dark and, you know, we came out to music and applause from the green room. And then at break time when we got to kind of see everyone and have a chat, it was just lovely because it's like, oh, it's our people and this is so great. And loads of people have listened and shared thoughts and that I really feel like we're part of something kind of much bigger, which is really lovely. And just the importance of having like progressive voices out there asking questions, talking about interesting things. I think, it was great, wasn't it? And may this next year, me in Manchester, have a northern edition of Rabbiting On Live. I think that'll be very good.
Definitely. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah. It's been so lovely hearing people's responses. I mean, it was so wonderful to actually see the faces of our listeners as we chatted. And that was, you know, added a really nice dimension to things. Of course, a terrifying one because we so often forget that anyone is here. It's just us chatting. But, you know, we love hearing from everyone. And, you know, we've seen Rabbiting On appearing in synagogue newsletters. And we had a little bit of coverage in the JC after the live. It's always just so lovely to hear from you and what you've engaged with, what it's meant to you, questions you have, things you'd like us to do. So you can always be in touch on media@rjuk.org. But of course, Hanukkah is now well and truly with us. How are you guys celebrating?
Very boringly standard Hanukkah, which actually I'm really happy about. I always feel like I'm never great in the winter. I always find it a bit tricky, although I love my winter break. We always go to Scotland, but I always find winter a bit difficult. So I'm always very thankful for Hanukkah when it comes because it just gives a bit of ritual, a bit of structure, lighting those lights and just bringing people together. And there's something, I was talking about this the Shabbat before last, about the beauty of Hanukkah being a homely festival. Like it's one of our only ones. It's just in the home. And it just feels right, doesn't it, for winter that that's the case. I don't have to leave particularly. I mean, I do, but, you know, to celebrate it is being in. And I've got some lovely vegan donuts this year. You'd be glad to know. So I've eaten a couple of those already. Just standard Hanukkah, but really appreciating it this year, actually.
We had a great first night Hanukkah celebration at the synagogue, which we'd kind of build as a reception, as a way of just like kind of bringing people together to do whatever they wanted to do. So there was options to study and to sing and arts and crafts and this amazing kind of shadow light thing that one of our members had created so that we could do a kind of group art project. We had these Israeli scouts there doing some games with the kids. And it was just like an extension of home. It felt like we really had just like invited the community over to our new home, which the synagogue is. And then each night now there's just something different going on, either in members' homes or at like a sort of an event in which you can light candles. But I know it sounds funny as a rabbi to say there's something really liberating about a festival that doesn't involve a service. there's something really lovely about the creativity when you take out the liturgy and you say, how can we just engage with our Jewish identity that just gives us something short and pretty and lovely to connect to? But actually, what you pin that onto can be, you know, anything. So we've got an Israeli pop star, Batella, coming on Friday night to the shul. But also, I also love the overlap with Christmas this year. So, you know, one of our members is hosting Christmas Day candle lighting at their house. I love a bit of Hanukkah.
Yeah, we've been trying to get that balance between home and synagogue as well. Yeah. We've got some nights Zoom lighting so we can all light together from our own homes. Some nights lighting's at the synagogue. Got a special classical concert on Tuesday night with a lighting beforehand on one of our Stone Grove serenades. Had a magic party for the kids. And, you know, in lockdown, I think we learned the trick of being able to be together via the internet. So actually being able to be at home and light together. Is kind of carrying on from what we learned through COVID.
But also that thing of, I think so often people are worried about doing Jewish in their home. What if we get it wrong? What if we don't really know how? And actually being able to say, look, we can do it in your home, but without us being there, it gives people the liberation to say, I don't have to worry about how I do it, but yet I can have done it in my home.
And actually, it's really interesting, Robin, that you said this is the festival of doing stuff at home, because actually it's the festival where we also try to be quite public about what we're doing. We do it at home, but we try to put it outside. We try to put it in our windows. We, are, you know, it's a mitzvah to almost witness the miracle to the world. We have public lightings in squares. I have a ridiculous dreidel wreath that I spent years trying to fix every time it comes out of the box that I made about 5 years ago. I've hopefully found the final fix this year with sticking it to a kid's plastic plate and writing Happy Hanukkah in the middle. But, you know, as I put that on my door this year, that sense of public witness was with me in a really different way. We've had a lot of anti-Semitism in the press recently, you know, David Baddiel's show, and actually lots of conversations in my own home about, you know, the kids at school practicing, you know, lock-in drills where someone bad's trying to get in. And actually on Hanukkah, we really go out into the world and say, here we are, this is us, with, you know, no shame. Our live was recorded at JW3, and I remember when they were building, they put up this incredible bold neon sign that said there's a hole in the Jewish community and we're filling it. And the idea that a Jewish site would be so public about its Jewishness, whenever that was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, was really astonishing and did make me really reflect on what it is to be publicly Jewish. And I think that's part of what Hanukkah is about.
I think there's really two messages of, like, who is the public? Who are we publicizing the miracle to? I think there's very much that sense of, like, what does it mean to be out there in the world? But I was teaching last night using Hanukkah source text that Rabbi Neil Janes had put together some years ago, and realized that piece about, actually, we are the modern day Maccabees. That actually, this isn't about us saying to the world, look, we're here as well. We've got our own traditions and our own lights at this time. It's actually about saying to each other, it's okay. You know, don't just blend into the background and assimilate. This is the reminder that, you know, the Maccabees fought for us to re-engage with our Judaism and allow ourselves to also be different and unique and to get that balance of being Jews out there in the world and yet be Jews out there in the world. And that takes some navigation as well. I wasn't sure if we were doing like Hanukkah jumpers today, and therefore I didn't know what message I was going to be going for. But I've got the like happy holidays kind of vibe of the Hanukkah jumper that for me feels that thing of like, you see, we've all got festivals to celebrate and these are our lights and they're your twinkly Christmas lights. But actually, last year, Marks and Spencer's gave me like my ability to be the Maccabee of 2022 and to be able to say, well, actually, you know, what is the message? Just that we have to be able to own our own belief and our own Judaism. So, you know, there's my believe jumper as well as my happy holidays jumper. It can depend who the message is for.
I think that believe thing is really interesting. I know it was a big hit with our Christian clergy, and they were kind of, there was like a Twitter storm of Christian clergy wearing their believe jumpers. One of the things I love most about Hanukkah is that actually the story has been layered up in so many generations, right? We found new meaning, as is the rabbinic kind of practice, right? It's what rabbinic Judaism has to do post destruction of the temple. In, you know, we start with this story of a tiny army defeating the might of the Seleucids and the Greeks and rededicating the temple, and it's actually Sukkot. And then we have much later in the Talmud, the miracle of the little oil that lasted for 8 days, because that's the spiritual message that we needed in a time of exile. Today, I think our message really is about how do we make one day's worth of energy last for 8 days, right? In a time of energy crisis and climate change. And in every generation, Jewishly, we create new meaning. And I suppose that word believe is a really interesting one to throw into that mix when we know that we're exploring meaning in the stories that have been passed down.
And Hanukkah is so interesting, isn't it? Because it's a story that isn't in our kind of canon, our scriptures, but it's come out kind of left field almost and has lots of retellings of it. And I was at a conference at Blackburn Cathedral last week, and Rabbi Jonathan Wittenberg was there, and he was talking about that the miracle, well, kind of riffing off what he said, but like the miracle could only begin with us lighting the light. And I love that, like, kind of partnership, the idea of it. And reflecting on what you've been saying about kind of, you know, the context of the world at the moment, anti-Semitism and lots of isms out there and lots of polarization and questions about security and things like that. I think there is a real risk that with something like Hanukkah, where we, you know, wonder whether we should be so public with this home festival to make ourselves so obviously Jewish, that we go into the fear and that we batten down and we recreate the ghetto and keep quiet. And actually, there's an invitation to do the opposite, to open doors and say, this is who we are, because I know that we're only going to combat anti-Semitism if we have allies and friends, and if we're reaching out our hand. It's like when we got Zoom bombed as a synagogue a few months ago, and I kind of said to Manchester leaders, we need you to speak out and be alongside us. And they did, and it was great, because it wouldn't have worked if we were just saying, if we, one, didn't say it had happened, which was one option, people wouldn't have known, we wouldn't have got the support and built partnerships. And secondly, if we didn't reach out our hand and said, we need to be together, we remain in the ghetto. So I think Hanukkah is a really great invitation of resistance and defiance. And I'm always remember that picture at Hanukkah, which you probably know, of that Rabbi Akiva Posner's wife, Rachel, put up in, that she took it in 1931 in Germany, of the Hanukkah being lit with a Nazi flag flying on the street below them in Nazi Germany. And Hanukkah really being that invitation to us of, how do you want your Judaism to be lived, you know, out there, proud, being the Maccabees of the day, but maybe Maccabees who are also joined in dialogue and partnership with others as well.
And actually, for me, that's one of the core values of what it is to be a Reform Jew, right? It's not about just looking inwards.
Yeah.
That sense of what it is to be in the world. You know, we were talking about layering meaning in every generation. So this year, Reform Judaism has created a sort of supplement for Hanukkah, where we can add a reading each night of the festival to celebrate one of the eight decades that we are finishing off at the end of this year, this sort of birthday year for Reform Judaism. So if anyone hasn't found that yet, you can find it on the Reform Judaism website, with a different reading and then a special blessing for each day of the week, reminding us of, in many ways, the sort of public life of Reform Judaism, what it's brought to us and the blessings and light that it's brought to us, which is kind of one of those things that maybe we take for granted because we don't acknowledge it every sort of time that we turn up to synagogue. And so to be really mindful of that as we light our candles, you know, what's the light that Reform Judaism has brought us, is really beautiful.
Mm. It's interesting that, so in a different church services I've been at, there's been moments where people have come along with a candle and then lit everybody else's candles, like down the row, and kind of spread that light. And it always reminds me of the kind of Rosh Chodesh-y idea of, on the new moon, we'd have lit our fires on the hillside and the kind of fires would have spread and, you know, that signal would have stretched for miles. And there's something for me about knowing that all our Chanukiot are in our windows, kind of across the country, across the globe. For me, there's something about kind of needing those umbrella organizations like the Reform Movement that both stretch us like those readings have across time, and be able to sort of stretch those lights back through the decades from pre-us, where we take all sorts of things for granted, and reminds us of, you know, the wonderful sessions we've had with rabbiting ons with like David Jacobs and Jackie Tabak, where they've reminded us of, you know, Reform Judaism pre-us. Amazingly, there was Reform Judaism pre-us. And then, you know, what it means to be able to then stretch it into the future. And so that those umbrella organizations that allow us to umbrella both time from the past and the future and geographical space and link us with communities in Manchester and Newcastle and Edinburgh and, you know, Curnow and Totnes and everywhere in between. If my geography was better, I'd be able to know where they were.
I think we might need to pick that one up with Glasgow, not Edinburgh.
Okay. Sure.
Edinburgh's liberal.
Well, you know, that's a whole other organisation that allows us to feel that tent even wider. I feel, though, there is a Hanukkah message that I have to get in. This Hanukkah for me is different to all other Hanukkahs. Anyway, because as a staff team, we had our fire safety training last week. And not only did it terrify all of us, but just those like simple reminders of if what we've done is inspire you to put your Hanukkiah on the windowsill, somewhere you might not otherwise be lighting kind of Shabbat candles and other candles that you might light during the year. Please be sensible. Remember wooden blinds, curtains. It's not just about them actually touching the flame. It's about just that little gap in between when things get hotter and hotter. Please don't let this Hanukkah be anything that destroys, only something that enlightens and envisions and gives us inspiration.
That's so funny. I was looking at a photo of my own Hanukkiah set up yesterday after lighting one. I was like, those wooden blinds, is that a good idea?
No.
Like, we need to pull the blinds up.
Especially not by eighth day.
Like, no, well, I remember
that which works on the first day might not work on the eighth.
Yeah, that's what I remember shared yesterday, that they lit their nine candles for the last day of Hanukkah. And it was so cold outside and the heat of the Hanukkiah shattered the pane of glass, which I'd never heard of, but apparently is a thing. And that's definitely made me think, because I guess we want to draw attention to the fact we're Jewish in a positive, proud way, not in a way that we're like, you know, exploding things at the end of the road or whatever. So yeah, that's a really helpful message, Miriam.
I do remember as a kid, we had a tray of all our Hanukkiot and we'd each light a Hanukkiah ourselves. And I had a glass one and like on the last night of Hanukkah, my Hanukkiah was no more. It was melted by all the other Hanukkiot.
Oh my gosh.
Talking of fire safety.
Yeah, as we obviously are as rabbis.
Yes, all the time. I don't know how many of these you guys have, but we have over the years had several Hanukkiot come home from nursery or school made from either air dry clay or salt dough, or I mean, there's one that's a piece of wood with bottle tops on top.
We've got that one too.
Air drying clay is actually quite flammable. Mm-hmm. There are little fibers through it. And it's like, what are we doing? Please think about the materials that you're using. Although yesterday we went to pick up a few bits for Hanukkah and my daughter decided that because we were retiring some of the more dangerous homemade Hanukkiah, that really she should have her own Hanukkiah, and she'd really like the one with text messages all over it.
My friend Jo sent me a photo of it from the Judaica store.
So I was like, I'm so chuffed that you want to choose your own Hanukkiah, but not this one.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm like, let's
give you a Hanukkah for your bat mitzvah or something. I know it's a couple of years away, but still.
Lots of latkes, lols, that kind of thing.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Each candle is a different text message.
Oh, I quite like that.
Well, it's definitely 2022.
It is, yeah.
So have you guys had a chance to look at the MRJ lightings and themes and what your favourite ones are? Mostly because Dan wants us to.
Yeah. I love that sense. Obviously, for me, that connection with youth movement is a great opportunity.
I can't say that one because I helped write it.
Okay. Well, that's why. Clearly, it was brilliant. But that sense for me, because it's what we see in family life. The fact that, you know, I'm loving each time Ben goes off to a reunion of his dorm from Shemesh last year, where the little crew that he shared a dorm with for that week get back to socializing. That sense of so many of my friends are my friends from RSY. The only reason I met my husband is because of our mutual friends through RSY, and the idea that from generation to generation, it's our youth movement that is helping our communities to flourish. Because I know that what our youth movement, what RSY can do for our kids' Jewish identity is just not always possible within the home or within the synagogue setting. So it's amazing for them to have their own space too.
I think the next step of that for me is the first blessing, sorry, the second, for securing our future leadership, like that sense that from RSY into being students, what does it look like to nurture the next generation of leadership, to know that we can't just say, well, this is what I'm doing, so this is fine. But actually, we have to always be looking to who is coming through, who is interested in Jewish leadership, whether as a lay leader or as a rabbi. And the importance of Leah Beck College in that blessing of really nourishing our leaders, teaching our leaders, but also our role in ensuring that, you know, no one is ever comfortable with where we are. That would be reformed Judaism, not reform. And that sense of who is going to take the reins next, because it has to be a shared endeavor. And we can never assume that someone who's already in leadership is going to be there forever.
Can I give a shout out that my family are doing that well too? We've just got our third generation into, she's gone cantorial school rather than rabbinic, it's Mazalta. Pretty exciting to know that we've got our third generation clergy in my family. My niece will be starting her training to be a cantor this summer. So I'm very excited for her.
Oh, that's brilliant. How exciting. See, future looks bright.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah.
How about you, and Robin? Did you have a fave?
Yeah, we're doing a Northern Hanukkah lighting on Tuesday. And my intention was tomorrow to have a good look through it and use one of the ones. So I will do tomorrow.
For the next repeating on, we're going to test you on it.
Yeah, I promise I will look. And it's great. I mean, that's why I also love our reform movement, because they're, you know, the resources that you need at hand and when you get to it, knowing that that's there is great.
Helps you prepare last minute.
Exactly. Yeah, especially at the time of year where it's all a bit kind of frantic before we go away. So yeah, the 80th year, and there's lots going on, isn't there? Is there a appeal, I think, as well at the moment?
Which we need to make sure we're supporting, because if nothing else, we need to maintain rabbiting on. And and therefore, I'm just going to do my own self-interest piece of the appeal, which is we want another live and we want producer Dan to keep helping us record this. So let's support the reform movement.
Amen.
And you hear that song.
Yeah, so much for focusing on what does our future look like. We need to form that together and be in partnership together. And these things take investment from time and money.
£50 will sponsor a participant from a small community to attend our annual and wonderful Communities That Cares conference. £200 will cover 50% of the cost we invest in one young leader at RSY Hadracha leadership training. So important. £350 allows us to waive the conversion fee for a Beit Din candidate who may not otherwise be able to convert. And £500 will enable deaf members to fully access a service through a British Sign Language interpreter. So please do make your donation this Hanukkah 2022 to the Reform Movement to enable us to continue doing our important work. Please follow this link to donate, www.reformjudaism.org.uk/donate.
We wish everyone a Hanukkah Sameach. We know that we will be with you again in the new year. We hope that it is a happy and healthy year for all of you, and wishing you Hanukkah Sameach.
Hanukkah Sameach. Bye, everyone.
Bye.